Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Gentry, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you guys. And on the rant, I'll say it seems like every year we do this with officiating, especially if there's a close game this time of year, but what happened this weekend to me wasn't any worse than the Rams-Saints non-pass interference call a few years ago. Officiating. No. This, you get in a close game this time of year, and there were all kinds of issues with officiating this year, but I actually didn't think it was that bad this weekend.
So, Gentry, to that point, what do you make of what Joe threw out there about the investment level, the way the NFL handles officiating, all that stuff that – is a very popular topic of conversation around the country right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are things you can do. I think it's a really good point about making enough money to make the game safe in that way. But I also think that this isn't any worse, and Joe brought this up, than what you see in college sports, most notably college basketball, which I feel like has been horribly officiated for a number of years now.
Yeah, well, no question. And that's another – I mean, there's plenty of money there too. To improve that level. And again, just like gamblers, I mean, a good charge block, couple charge blocks go your way, a well-placed holding call. I mean, these things, this is real stuff. So, but, apart from that, Gentry, what about just the final four of the NFL and the Super Bowl now? Did it tell you anything about the Titans? Like, did you think of this in terms of the Titans, and what are the takeaways as you look at the Titans?
Yeah, I think number one to me from this weekend was they need to pay Jeffrey Simmons because to me the most impactful player on the field was Chris Jones repeatedly, making big plays, pressuring Burrow, changing the game in KC's favor. And as you look at all these teams that have still been playing, you're seeing these hotshot quarterbacks, you're seeing these great receivers, you're seeing all these weapons and star players, and you're like, man, Titans just don't have that. That D lineman who can change a game, the Titans do have that. And I feel like, that's still an incredibly important aspect to have that D lineman who makes these clutch plays in key moments. So that's the positive aspect, I guess. Plenty of negative, though. I kind of mentioned that you look at the Titans and you see these pieces that are taking the teams this far into it. And you're going to focus on A.J. Brown being on the Eagles or the fact that the Titans don't have the quarterback. But to me, it's more up front. When the Titans made their run a few years ago, it was because they were mashing people on the O-line. They can't do that anymore. And to me, that's probably been the biggest takeaway when you look at the teams that have had success, especially Philly. They've been dominant on both lines of scrimmage.
So, Gentry, how intrigued are you, number one, by Rand Carthon and his approach for this offseason in terms of the quarterback position and what it could be, whether it's Ryan Tannehill or looking elsewhere? And number two, if you're the general manager, what are you doing at quarterback with the Titans this offseason?
It's a great question, and it comes down to, do you really feel like you can improve on Tannehill for the next year? And as you look at some of the options that are available out there, it's a real question about whether or not you could. I mean, people talk about Tom Brady, Derek Carr. I mean, there are options, but to me, the biggest issue is going to be the cost. Even with the salary cap going up the way it is, the Titans are still projected to be over that, to where they're going to need to cost cut a little bit here. And when you're looking at it, the highest paid player on the team by miles is Ryan Tannehill. And I think he's getting, the way his contracts have been rolled over, he's getting what amounts to elite quarterback money. And I think you have to look at that and say, do the Titans have an elite quarterback? If not, maybe there is another option that could save some cost, but I don't know if that's a decision you're going to make in the short term as much as at least after June 1st or even next season.
Well, let's just say you are the Tennessee Titans and you can have Tom Brady next year, Gentry. And it'll cost you because, like you said, I mean, it's going to cost you just to move on from Tannehill. But You can do that, and of course you're going to have to, you can maneuver around the cap. You can do things, right, to try to give yourself cap relief for 1 year and kick the can and all these things you can do. Would you do that?
I think the idea, and I hear Jared talk about this all the time. I think this makes more sense to me now, or at least I don't hate this as much now as I probably would have a few years ago, right after the Titans making the AFC title game. People forget that when you're talking about the whole Brady thing, that Tannehill just almost led the Titans to the Super Bowl, and I think this, maybe now when you're looking to make a bit of a transition, but to me, the Tom Brady thing, while it would probably sell tickets and generate a lot of interest, I think it's just a band-aid in terms of the direction of the franchise. I mean, you're bringing in a guy that old, he's obviously not going to have a long-term future with your team. If you feel like this team's good enough now where it would just take plugging that in and here we go, then maybe. But when you watch Tampa Bay this last season, Brady struggled because the O-line struggled. And he's the type that there's not a lot of mobility there. He's going to need a lot of pieces around him to be able to do what he does. And I don't see how you look at the Titans offense and see those pieces right now.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So Gentry, switching gears to the Preds, what do you make of the spot that they're in? They win 5 of 6 before their break here. Obviously, they're not in a playoff spot right now, and things have not gone as the whole picture the way they had hoped to this point. What's your view on the Predators and where they sit right now heading into the All-Star break?
It's interesting because I thought about you on this, Robbie. It seems like every year the Preds, the trade-off to being kind of a middling team is, yeah, it's bad, but there's going to be some stretches where it's really good to kind of balance it out. And the Preds have had that each year, and there's always been kind of this theme to the run they're on. I remember the We're Vibing, Robbie run a few years ago. What was it?
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
everybody's
Is that
talking
what
about
we're
that one.
officially
Now I
calling it?
think Well, now I think it's going to be the team meeting run, where they had this emotional team meeting, and again, oddly enough, still kind of revolves around Ryan Johansson. But they played a lot better the last 3 games. I've always thought the team meeting stuff was kind of a cliche in sports. Okay, now we're trying. I mean, not, but I think they really have played better. They've scored. Certainly been better offensively the last few games, and I felt like the one right before the break where they beat a good New Jersey team by kind of outscoring them, the kind of game the Preds have not been winning. That was impressive. I think they're in a good place right now. Probably would have been better off not having the All-Star break when it was.
Well, I'm switching gears on you again because, of course, it is college basketball season, as we all know, and are all very excited about. How much you buying the Vols, Gentry? How much are you buying the Vols as a, well, as a national championship contender?
Last year, right before the NCAA tournament, when Tennessee won the SEC and they were in a great place and everybody was saying, oh, they're about to go to the Final Four, I wrote a column saying, I don't trust it. And I got the nastiest, awful response email-wise from Tennessee for writing it when I wrote it because you're kind of raining on the parade. But I truly didn't trust it. And you look at this team now, and I'm looking at the numbers, and I'm seeing what's happening. And it's okay. Well, now why do I trust it? Because the offensive numbers are almost identical in terms of like field goal percentage, things like that. They're a little bit better this year, but they're still not. I think something like all but one of the last 12 national champions, or I forget the stat exactly, were at least in the top 70 in terms of field goal percentage. Well, Tennessee's not even close to that offensively. But I think the trade-off is their defense is like historically good. Right now, they're putting up field goal defense numbers that could potentially certainly be the best in school history and maybe one of the best of all time. And I think that's your question is, can the defense be good enough to carry them? And if not, can they have a performance like they had Saturday? Campois getting 27 points, Ziegler getting 22, These guys stepping up and being able to get it done offensively when actually Texas had a pretty good performance, especially in the second half. They were getting good looks. They shot like 44%, which is phenomenal against Tennessee this year. And Tennessee still beat them comfortably. And a lot of that had to do with their offense kind of stepping up and their defense not necessarily controlling the game. They're going to get in a game like that in the tournament. So I felt like the Texas game was was overly encouraging. I think I'm dodging your question, Joe.
Pretty much.
So I'll say yes, I am buying it this year, and I didn't last year.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessee and our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Gentry, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you bet. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. Bye. Gentry Estes does an outstanding job for the Tennessee, and we'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Joe, a couple of things I want to get to coming up next. Number one, I've got a question for Predators fans, particularly Predators fans who are out on the current direction. Is there anything that realistically can happen with this group this year that can turn you around and sway your opinion on the direction of this franchise? I want to hear from you at 615-737-1025. And Joe, we've also got a mini Rob rant coming up next as well that I'd love to get to. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Gentry Estes from the Tennessean for joining us in the last segment. Joe, we're going to get to my Preds question here in just a second. There is a one piece of news that I just saw that has me wondering, like, what in the world are we doing in the National Football League? Now, you and I have made our thoughts pretty clear on the Pro Bowl before, which, by the way, is coming up this weekend, the Pro Bowl games that they've reimagined in Las Vegas. So, first off, credit where credit is due. The Pro Bowl game itself was so horrendous that I'm glad the NFL is at least trying to do something different this time around. For those of you who haven't seen it, it's basically going to be like 7-on-7 football and a bunch of different skills competitions rather than an actual tackle football game. So kudos to the NFL for trying something new. It was just put out there that Josh Allen's not going to be there and that Tyler Huntley will be a participant in the 2023 Pro Bowl games. Tyler Huntley, of course, who, for those of you who don't know, and some of you might not, was the quarterback for the Ravens, played 6 games this year, threw 2 touchdown passes and 3 interceptions, and now is a member of the Pro Bowl games this year, Joe Rex wrote. What are we doing? Just scrap the thing, man. What are we doing?
Well, that's the thing, you know, and this actually goes into contract negotiations too. So Ben Jones, congrats to him. And I think that Ben Jones, I mean, it's kind of like a lifetime achievement award, but it's a big deal, you know? Ben Jones get a Pro Bowl, and usually it's, yeah, there's a logical kind of next QB who was really good. So I don't understand. Like, how does that decision get made?
Did they get turned down so many times that they got to Tyler Huntley? I have no idea.
I mean, I guess I hope that's the answer, right? And even if it is, your point is accurate, right? I mean, it's like the whole – I mean, basically, like, just announce a team. These are your Pro Bowls. I know we have an all-pro team, but there's still, like, that's – and maybe it's just me because I'm just so used to the vernacular my entire life. Or like, he's a Pro Bowl guard. A Pro Bowler at safety. Like, it means something, right?
Tyler Huntley's a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, now Tyler Huntley, Pro Bowl quarterback Tyler Huntley. I mean, the Ravens, oh my goodness. They've got the former MVP and a Pro Bowler in Tyler. What an incredible quarterback situation in Baltimore. Yeah.
Just amazing.
It's kind of pointless now.
I saw that and needed to get it off my chest, so I'm glad that I did. Now, to the Predators question that I threw out there, because I've wondered this. We've talked up and down about the direction the Predators are headed. People have got their opinions on it. I get it. Quite honestly, I'm not really interested in getting back into that conversation right now because we've talked about it so much. But I do wonder, for those who are out, and I think there, as we've discussed, there are a lot of Predators fans who are like, you know what? I'm tired of being in the middle. I'm tired of the direction of this team right now. I'm out. What is there anything that can happen that's realistic to bring you back in this year? That's a question that I have for you. Is there anything that can happen that's realistic? Obviously, Joe, if they make a run to the Stanley Cup final, people are going to be back in. I don't think there's any question about that. I don't view that as realistic. I just don't. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't view that as realistic with this group. So is there anything that is realistic with this hockey team that'll bring you back in? Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Nate. Nate, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Morning, guys. So I don't believe that they're going to come out hot out of the break just because they haven't really shown that they will. But really how I think if they did this, you know, my belief might be skewed a little higher. If they win the playoff series and make it competitive in the second round, and, you know, take it 6 to 7 games, that they can't really do. Unfortunately, they can't really do anything in the regular season for me to have higher hopes, because, you know, we've seen what they have done, and the past is what it is. So
yeah. Hey, thanks for the call, Nate. Well, Joe, to that point in the regular season, like, they're going to have a really good post All-Star break to get into the playoffs. So like the regular season, I mean, I would be shocked if they could finish any higher than third in the Central Division. Like, I just, and that would take a heck of a run, I think, to do that in the second half. So to Nate's point, like, I think the regular season, maybe there's not anything that they can do to bring in the fan that is just totally tired of this direction. Now, I'll say this. I have heard from fans over the course of the past few weeks, especially as they've been on this winning run lately, winning 5 out of 6 heading into the break, that says, you know what, this is fun, and this is more fun than the rebuild idea that people throw out there. So it's not just a blanket statement of Predators fans that are just out on this direction. I do think there are a lot of Predators fans that we hear from a lot that are out with the direction they're heading right now, and I don't think the regular season, based on the spot they put themselves in, anybody is that has that point of view is changing the mind based on the regular season. It does come down to the playoffs. Number one, you got to get there. And number two, I don't know, like, if they won a playoff series, how much would that change the conversation with some of this fan base around this team? I don't know.
I think it would change it some, but honestly, I think even some of the people who are claiming to be out until they do have a new direction, you know, you have another week like the last week of hockey. Starting to watch. Okay. I mean, if you're truly a fan, have another week like that. I mean, if they had a run, because you're right, I mean, the outcome is going to be tough to dramatically change, you know, put yourself in a great position. But if you play sustained good hockey with a team that people were excited about, I think for, largely going into the year, and you start to look like that team, I think a lot of people will start to be like, okay, I mean, look, this is your team. So if you're a fan of this team, would you not rather see winning and good hockey and hope it means something? Look, UC Saros has had one opportunity since he's become UC Saros to play in the postseason. Let's remember that. Yes, he got the nod over Pekka-Rinne in the bubble, and he wasn't great. And that was a bad performance all the way around. Losing to Arizona, which is still kind of hard to even like wrap my head around, considering what they've become since then. But he was really good in the one like actual playoff series he played in against the Carolina Hurricanes, and then he didn't take part last year. So like, there's a very limited sample size of him. That to me makes it interesting. Just the idea of just if you get in, what could he mean? Because we do know what his predecessor meant to the number 8 seed 6 years ago. And I hate to keep bringing that up, but it's an answer to anyone who says that you can't possibly, you know, that this tournament can't be completely wacky.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Thomas, who wants to weigh in. Thomas, thanks for calling in. Hello, Thomas. Did we lose Thomas?
Yeah, it looks like we lost him.
Thomas has bailed.
I think we lost him. The Preds. 615-737-1025. All right, we'll reset the phone line. take your thoughts there as well. I want to hear from you, Predators fans. Is there anything that you think is within the realistic possibility of this team this year that they can do on the ice that if you're out or if you're a doubter with the direction they're going right now, can bring you back in? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. It is Love Week, brought to you by Moments Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. Be caller number 5 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs and be qualified for a chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well. Again, call number 5, 615-737-1025. We're taking your thoughts on the Preds, and I've thrown the question out there. For those Predators fans who are dissatisfied with the direction of the team, who are quote-unquote out with the current direction, is there anything that is realistic that this team can do to draw you back in this year? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Craig on the text line says, I'm a season ticket holder, and the only thing that'll make me feel better about the direction of this team is for Poile to be gone before he makes a stupid trade at the deadline and gives up assets when we have no chance at the Cup final. Kyle on the text line says, only way to turn this season around is to reinstate the playing of glorious domination to begin the third period. Thank you, Kyle. We appreciate that.
Well, I did notice what was the last game I went to? I guess it was third. Was that what was their last? Oh. Yeah, the one over New Jersey. Yeah, I noticed getting off the elevator, I heard those wonderful notes streaming through the arena. So that's they've changed it from the beginning of the third, which is good. They need to permanently remove it, but you know, we'll keep working on it, man. We'll keep trying to make the world a better place.
John on the text line says, "Get at least to the second round of the playoffs." And that is that's something they've not done since 2018. That was the last time that they went to the second round. That second round series that went 7 games against Winnipeg, they've not been past the first round since then. So, I mean, you're talking about, it's not that long ago, but it's, you know, 5 years at this point is the last time that they went to the second round of the playoffs. And to their credit, they've been in the playoffs every year. So that's part of what people are talking about, Joe, when we talk about the, you know, the meddling middle or whatever phrase you want to use. You're one and done in the playoffs. Like at some point, your fan base becomes fed up with it. I do wonder if they did win a playoff series, and I'm just here to tell you, I'm comfortable saying, like right now, if they're going to play in the playoffs, they're not going to have home ice advantage. They're going to be on the road to start a series if they get in there, and they'll be against a team that will probably be favored over them. If they can win a series, how much does that bring people back in that maybe otherwise are dissatisfied with the way things are going right now?
Speaking of dissatisfied, I mean, he's just obsessed with our show. I'll quickly read Jared's text here. Yes, I'm a fan, and yes, I don't care to watch good hockey, knowing they'll get shellacked in the playoffs. This code hasn't worked for 4 years, and Nito Niederreiter doesn't change that. I mean, frankly, I think that what Jared said there is a view shared by a lot of people. But let me throw something at you, Robbie. I don't know if you saw this. But frankly, I saw this today and I was a bit surprised. So I don't know if you've seen it or not, but have you seen where The Athletic, and this is Scott Wheeler, ranks the Preds prospect pool in the
I have.
league?
Yes. Is it
So
number
have
10,
you?
right?
Okay, dang it. Did you read who he had, how he listed them?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, guess who their number one prospect is?
I'll go with Skarov.
That would have been my clear answer too, but it's actually Joakim
Yoakum.
Kemmel.
Yep, all
Oh
right.
yeah, or Joakim. That was always the thing with Joakim Noah. Joakim, Joakim, I don't know, but
Joakim Kimmel. Joakim
Joakim
Kimmel.
Kemmel, yeah, 18 years old, and then Askarov, and then
Okay.
interestingly, of course, you have Tomasino counts in there,
Right.
Evangelista, Zachary Leroux, who's another, and a lot of forwards. And of course, he has Parson in six too. Who, as we see, I mean, Parson is nice story this year. My point bringing that up is maybe it's not. I mean, that to me is from a couple years ago. That's a clear improvement in perception of this prospect pool
It's from
for the
earlier this
Preds.
year.
Yeah. So does that make you think any differently as a Predators fan that maybe it's not just pure doom and gloom, once you get to the end, which is coming for some of these bigger contracts, older players on the team? I mean, still don't look at this prospect pool and think, yeah, that's the core of a future cup winner. But
Right.
again, you have two goaltenders, and one of them is going to have to me, going to have to be traded to give you that shot at building a better team in the near future.
Well, I think that certainly could be on the table. The prospect part of this is interesting because I want to say to begin the season, Corey Priman comes out with his annual prospect report. And I want to say the Predators were at 17 or 18, somewhere like that. So it's interesting, the different viewpoint on it a few months later. Now,
Yeah.
I think
Yeah,
Pronman's is
subjective.
it's subjective, and I think Pronman's is for 22 and younger. So Parsonen obviously is a little older. Cody Glass is a little older. You've got some older guys that are involved in this now. But we have a lot of responses on the text line that say if they sell off at the deadline and bring up Tomasino and start to play some of the younger guys, they would be more into watching games than they are right now.
They're going to have to stink loudly for until the deadline for that to even be remotely possible, and they won't.
Well, the bringing up Tomasino part we've talked about, and I'm here for. But to your point, the selling part, I don't know. I'd be surprised. Right now, they're right on the edge of a playoff spot. But also, I think people, and this is one thing we've talked about when we've had this discussion at large. I think people say that they would be more interested in watching because it's a change of pace from what it is. But are you prepared to deal with what that means? That's always the question. Bringing up the
Exactly.
young guys sounds great. And look, I'm not even saying it's the wrong way to go about it. That may be what they do. I mean, heck, Parsons is a young guy. They brought him up. He's playing pretty darn well. Cody Glass is a young guy. They elevated him. He's playing pretty darn well. By the way, Elie Tolvanen keeps scoring out in Seattle left and right. So that's continuing to be a thing. So maybe that's the right way to go for the Predators. But typically, when you bring up the young guys, that means may not be very good. So are you really going to be watching that when 15 games into it, they're, I don't know, 5-10
Right.
with that strategy?
You're gonna be glued. You're gonna be in there. You're gonna be like, oh, gimme this, yes, because Tomasino's out there, and maybe they're actually gonna move in a new direction. I mean, you still, I would think, would want to watch better hockey. But I understand what Jared's saying, what people say. I get it. Dennis, by the way, says I just want everyone on Twitter to stop pointing out every time Tolvanen scores,
It happens
which
a
you just
lot.
did, Robbie. Yeah.
I wasn't on Twitter.
That's fair. Also, this is an unnamed texter says David Poile is the Predators' Jeff Fisher. Not bad, likable, but very unlikely to ever get you over the hump. I've never heard that comparison before. That's interesting.
It's interesting. And like I said, that's a conversation that we've had a lot. But I'm more interested in on the ice. Right now it is what it
Right.
is. John Hines is the head coach. David Poile is the general manager. We can have the philosophical discussion about whether or not those two things should be the case moving forward. And that's a very valid conversation that we will have and we'll continue to have as we move forward here. But right now, they are what they are. This is the team that they're going to have, and you got the deadline coming up in a little bit more than a month. By the time they're back on the ice on the 7th of February, you're less than a month away from the deadline. And to your point, Joe, like, I'm pretty confident that while they may not be in a playoff spot come NHL trade deadline day, they're probably going to be close enough where selling, I would be surprised if that happens. So knowing that, or at least thinking that we know that, what will it take to get you back in there if you're a disillusioned fan of this team right now? Is there anything that's realistic? Again, like, obviously I talked about it. Yeah, get to the Stanley Cup final. Well, okay. Well, how realistic is that with this group? I don't think very. Is there anything that draws you back in? And from some of the response we've gotten, I think there is. I think you make some noise in the playoffs, you get to the second round, maybe people open their eyes a little bit. And from some, I think it's all about Poile and Hines. Like, that's all they can talk about is Poile and Hines.
Which, like you said, that's we're talking about. Here it is. This is the team. This is the season. Like, someone like Jared, and again, I don't think Jared's on an island at all with that train of thought. But you know what? Stack together another 10-game stretch where they go 7-2-1, and they play like they did last week. Jared, he'll start changing his tune a little bit, at least enjoying the hockey. I think a lot of people would be like that. Look, if they're even going to get in the playoffs, it's going to require a lot more good hockey than bad hockey. That's the position they put themselves in. So yes. Think back to 2 years ago when we had all basically left them for dead, expected big changes. We're just wondering which team would be acquiring Ekholm, and they did what they did. I feel like a lot of people had kind of – it's like people leave the building when they think their team's toast, and then they hear cheers. You're like, you try to get back in the building. I think a lot of people had gotten back in the building by the time they got to what was a good – really good series against the Hurricanes.
I mean, the bottom line is, and again, the games are played on the ice, not on a spreadsheet. I understand that. But with as well as they played, they've won 5 out of 6 to close off the break there. The team meeting that we keep talking about and everybody keeps bringing up, all those things involved here. You look at their percentage just by the numbers on MoneyPuck, and there are several different, you know, websites that run analytics and predictions. MoneyPuck just happens to be the one that I use. But they're at a 29.6% chance to make the playoffs as we sit here today. So you're still talking about the odds would tell you that 7 out of 10 chance is they don't make the playoffs. That's what they're facing heading into the second half of the, or, you know, the unofficial second half of the season with the All-Star break. And then you break that down even further. And again, this is just by the numbers. But right now they've got an 11.4% chance, according to MoneyPuck, to make the second round of the playoffs. Now, I realize we're talking about mathematical formulas here, and it's sports, so I get all that. I'm just saying the odds would tell you that it's going to be a heck of a climb and a battle for the Predators just to even make the playoffs coming down the stretch here, which I think is why we're having the conversation we're having.
Yes. Yeah, and, well, without question. Vingan sent us a text. Yeah, same thing. You know, he wrote the other minute they need to win a playoff round. Even that might not be enough to convince a disillusioned fan base. I promise you, if the Predators get to the playoffs and then beat whoever in the first round, this city will be absolutely alive. And yes, there will still be folks like Jeff D, my favorite commenter at The Athletic, who is like, I'm not watching. I don't care. I just want Poile fired, right? There will be some people. But 90%+ of the Predators fan base will be, if you're a fan of the team, including Jared, will be all in on the playoffs. And all in on whoever they're playing the next round, and all in on believing that there's a chance with Saros and goal. Because again, you gotta, like, what would it take to get there? It would take a whole bunch of good hockey to get there. Once you start showing that over and over again, then that becomes more of what your identity is. I'm not saying they're gonna do that. I'm not at all expecting that to happen, but I believe that would be the response.
Well, and it's an interesting part of this for the David Poile part of this discussion. I mean, he sat down with Chase last week, and one of the comments he talked about was, you know, at some point making the playoffs and being in the middle, you know, he kind of brought it up. Like, is that the direction you want to keep going, or do you want to reset? Those are comments that kind of made me raise my eyebrows a little bit. We'll see what happens on that front. We'll get to more of your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. Preds, Titans, everything on the table in our final segment coming up here in the next few minutes. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Scott, who wants to weigh in. Scott, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
We're good.
Good. I'm going to shift gears back to the Titans, and I'm going to lay out kind of a fantasy scenario. So let me do that first, and then I'll let you guys weigh in, okay?
Okay.
All right, so this is a utopian scenario that I think a lot of Titans fans would probably be on board with. And again, I know that it's kind of some dreaming here, but let me just lay it out. So you acquire Brady, you get Tannehill to say, I'd love to play for the GOAT, and back him up, and be his backup for a couple of years. He's the greatest of all time. I'll do what I can to help. And then you've got these other people that you can get, linemen, tight end, another receiver, whatever you need. And again, that sounds like, okay, well, we're breaking the bank. We can't do that because there's a cap. But then you've got an afternoon guy who says, well, there is no cap. All that requires is Amy Adams Strunk to open up the purse strings and just let it happen. And then it can happen. So I understand that he's probably talking about some shell game stuff, and I don't understand all that. And you guys would understand more as to why he thinks the cap is fake. But what would be preventing that scenario from actually coming to fruition in the real world of the cap that you guys believe exists? And I'll listen to what you have to say.
Well, hey, thanks for the call, Scott. Well, Scott, Joe, that's a perfect example of why the cap is real, is what he just laid out there.
Yeah.
Like, you're not paying Ryan Tannehill to be Tom Brady's backup quarterback.
Yeah. Again, like, this is so frustrating. And again, it's so easily debunked. I mean, actually, like, whatever, the caller last week or text or whatever that brought up Jerry Jones to Jared, and then he and I started going back and forth because I texted him, like, so you're telling me that Jerry Jones, the Cowboys aren't doing more just because Jerry Jones doesn't want to pay people. That's your story? It's purely – because trust me, like, think about baseball. You know, look at what the Mets are doing right now. That would absolutely happen in the NFL if it was truly not any kind of hindrance. You can kick the can. You can manipulate contracts, you can play the shell game, as you just said, but you can't do it perpetually. You can't do it on an unlimited basis. You cannot do it. You still have a number that you have to get under, and you cannot do this with all of your deals. And then Jared's answer will be like, yeah, but then how are the Chiefs so great? How are the Rams so great? There are websites, folks, that lay out all the numbers. Go to Over the Cap. They'll tell you the cap hits. They'll tell you the cap hits next year and the year after that, too. You can do the math on all these things. And, again, you have a certain amount of flexibility. You do not have unlimited flexibility. And I'm starting to get pissed off even having to talk about it again. But this is what Jared creates.
This is what Jared creates. We have people that says, please, please stop with the Brady talk. I also don't really have a whole lot of time for that. Like, if you really think that it's not worth talking about, you're asinine in this discussion. I don't really know what else to call you. Like, it's an asinine take to have to think that it's not worth talking about. He's going to be a free agent, and there's only a limited amount of teams that he could probably go to. Like, if you think it's wasting time with the Tom Brady talk, I think you're freaking insane.
Yeah, no, it's – look, I mean, he's going to be somewhere, and there aren't a ton of possibilities, and I'm still somewhat skeptical on – you know, on Brady right now as a player, but I would not. How could you turn it down if you could make it happen? You know, as Gentry said earlier in the show, if you can also make enough things work to try to give him a much better situation than Tannehill had last year.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that it's not worth talking about because – like, oh, well, I can't imagine the Titans having Tom Brady. Well, great. Like, he's going to be a free agent. I mean, there's only a certain amount of teams that he can go to.
Yeah. I mean, look, you may want it to stop, but until he lands somewhere, it can't be dismissed. It's a much – so, for example, last year we had the Rodgers stuff, which we basically laughed at the whole time. And, you know, I understand, you know, you got to have the house here, but like it wasn't real. That was not something that you could really realistically make happen. When someone's a free agent and you aren't necessarily certain about your starting quarterback, and yeah, the relationship does mean something, right? I mean, it has to mean something. It means that Brady can talk frankly and honestly with Vrabel about this team and get what he probably feels is an accurate reading on it. You know, as opposed to someone he doesn't have a long-standing, decades-long relationship with. So, sorry, it's not going to stop until we know what happens.
Yeah, no question about that. And then there's the Rodgers part of this, too, with is he going to be on the move to the Jets? That's the thing. Like, there's so many things that could happen this offseason with the quarterback movement. You know, there's Derek Carr. There's Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, Jared was talking about Baker Mayfield. Like, is Baker Mayfield going to be a starting quarterback for somebody next year? And then that's not even getting into the draft part of this as well, where whether you're Houston or Indianapolis or, heck, maybe the Titans, who knows what their viewpoint on this is as well. You got to go up and find your quarterback in the draft too. So there's a lot on the quarterback front that we will have to get through throughout this offseason. But it's going to be interesting. I will say, Joe, the last couple of years, I'm a big fan of the quarterback movement in the NFL in the offseason. It makes it way more fun than it used to be.
No doubt. I hope this every year. I'll take this every year, man, without question. Titans fans are probably like, at some point it'd be good to not be part of it. It'd be fun to watch it from afar, you know?
Yeah.
But in the meantime, embrace it.
Just embrace it. Go buy your Tom Brady jerseys in Titans uniform now. It's going to happen, right?
Yeah. And hopefully you already have your Randy Moss.
Yeah, pair them together. Your Julio Jones, your Randy Moss, your Tom Brady. Maybe
Johnson.
That happens.
Jason
that's going to do it for us today. Jason Michelle is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.